proceed to the sixth case. DCS Insurance versus Wellmark. Mr. Wilson.
May it please the court, Mark Wilson on behalf of Appellant BCS Insurance Company. Your Honors, this insurance coverage controversy should be resolved in one proceeding, not in two. It should be resolved in a proceeding presided over by former Blue Cross Blue Shield executives with expertise in complex insurance coverage disputes like this one. It should be resolved in one proceeding to avoid the risk of conflicting or inconsistent judgments at the end of those proceedings.
I don't understand. I'm sorry.
Why did you agree to the optional arbitration in the last policy at issue in this case, then?
Your Honor, it is not in the record why that clause was changed, and I really don't have an answer for you. I'm sorry. By way of quick background, Wellmark is a Blue Cross Blue Shield licensee for the state of Iowa. BCS is an insurer for BCS or for Blue Cross Blue Shield licensees. BCS issued a series of annual E&O policies to Wellmark. Wellmark claims coverage on these policies for various lawsuits, all alleging that Wellmark overcharged insureds with regard to undisclosed provider discounts. Wellmark acknowledges the arbitrability of the dispute with regard to three of the underlying suits, but filed a coverage action in the federal court in Iowa regarding Lee County. Now, the Lee County claim is a component part of the insurance coverage controversy between the parties, and that controversy is arbitrable under the broad arbitration language of the earlier clauses.
Which policy governs?
Governs what, Your Honor?
You want this dispute under the 97 policy arbitrated, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, what policy governs the arbitration? Is the arbitrator looking to see, is he looking at the 97 policy limits or the 94 policy limits or what?
That's an issue for the ultimate.
What's your position?
Well, Your Honor, our position is that our position is that that this is one controversy.
That's not answering my question. What policy limits apply to the dispute under the 97 policy?
Your Honor, to my knowledge, I don't want to hedge.
I want you to answer my question.
Well, I guess I don't have a clear answer for you.
Well, I find that very damaging. Why don't you have an answer? How could you decide whether you want litigation or arbitration if you don't know what policy applies?
Well, the question of what policy applies has, if I may, different parts to it. The 97 policy clearly applies in certain respects because this is a claim made on that policy. That policy has the relation back clause, and depending on the facts of the case, the claim may be deemed to have been made during an earlier policy period. So it's going to depend on...
Which is surely what you're going to argue.
Well,
you want the 94 limits to apply to this dispute, don't you?
We do want the 94
right.
limits to apply.
That's going to be your position.
It may well be our position, but the...
Certainly what you want your position to be. Well, I don't understand how somehow you sign a policy in 97 and get shunted back into the 94 limits. That seems very strange.
Well, Your Honor, this is a very common type of provision in liability insurance policies. The liability insurers cover specific losses, specific events, liability arising out of events. And this sort of a clause is very common in these sorts of policies to make sure that there is one insurance limit applied to a given event that generates a loss. Otherwise, you would have insureds being able to make multiple claims with regard to one set of facts.
I don't understand the one set of facts. for the 97 policy to apply, something had to happen in 97.
What has to happen is
and
a claim must be...
What happened in 97? There was another class action filed.
There has to be a claim made in 97.
Yeah.
And that's, but by the party's own agreement, the relation back clause, that claim may be deemed to have been made at an earlier time. If the claim results from a wrongful act that is the same wrongful act from an earlier claim on an earlier policy.
It makes that 97 policy illusory.
How so, Your Honor?
Because if the 94 limits have been exhausted and you, the suit is filed and it's a claims-made policy,
yes.
So the suit was, the new class action was filed in 97. Now, if the 94 limits are exhausted by the claim, by the suit filed in 94, then the insured gets nothing for his 97 policy.
I would disagree, Your Honor, because the insured gets coverage for all claims that result from other acts.
There are policy limits, and if the 94 policy limits are exhausted by that first lawsuit, then Wellmark got nothing by getting a 97 policy.
Wellmark cannot go buy insurance after the fact for a loss that has already, for acts that have already occurred.
It thought it was buying insurance for some class action or other lawsuit that would be filed in 97. And sure enough, such a suit was filed. Now you want to bounce them back to 94, where the policy limits are going to be exhausted, and they don't get any coverage.
Yeah, there is coverage for other acts. In fact, in this very policy, there were 11 other claims filed on this policy. When the only thing that the relation back clause does, as is very common in liability insurance, is to make sure that there are not multiple limits for the same thing. And Wellmark didn't pay for multiple limits for the same wrongful act. That's what the relation back clause says. Now, we could have negotiated a different policy term, but it's in there, and that's what they paid for. It's a perfectly reasonable policy to purchase.
Of course, even if you're right about that, it doesn't follow that Wellmark loses the option it negotiated for in the 97 policy to have a litigation over this rather than arbitration.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
Well, the 97 policy gives Wellmark a litigation option.
Right.
Now, certainly a claim was filed against them in 97.
Correct.
You think the actual limits that apply are the 94 policy, but the claim was filed in 97. Why can't they litigate this issue? Why can't they use their litigation option to litigate this coverage issue in court?
Because the claim, which is the Lee County claim, is covered by the arbitration clauses of the earlier policies as well as the 97 policy. Because
well, that's not obvious from the way the 97 policy is drafted.
Well, in the 97 policies, the arbitration clause says any controversy that arises out of or even relates to that policy is subject to mandatory arbitration. It is clear that the Lee County claim is part of one coverage controversy. Since at least 1999, the parties have always discussed this as one controversy.
But there's certainly a controversy over the meaning of this 97 policy, whether the claim is subject to the policy limits in 94. But this is a controversy that arises from a claim filed in 97. And maybe that 97 claim has to somehow be treated as if it had been filed in 94, but why should that affect their litigation option?
Because if the claim is deemed to have arisen in an earlier policy period, which is a question on the merits, if that is true, then at a minimum, the Lee County claim is part of a controversy that relates to those earlier policies. And this is... always has been treated as one controversy, one insurance coverage controversy by the parties. And what you have are conflicting clauses, and in that instance, you should apply the federal presumption of arbitration and go through the test that AT&T Technologies announced, which leads to arbitration.
But the issue of the meaning of this relation back clause, that is an issue. That issue arises under the 97 policy. It's a question: what is the meaning of that clause in the 97 policy?
I would agree with that, but
and therefore, and they have a right, it seems to me, to litigate. To litigate the meaning of that policy. They file a claim under the 97 policy. You say it doesn't belong here. It really belongs. That depends on the interpretation of the 97 policy. So they ask for, you know, litigation on that claim, and your defense is not really a 97 claim. It's a 94 claim.
My position on that, Your Honor, is that they cannot litigate that issue because just asking that question shows that the claim is related to, at least, an earlier policy. And those earlier clauses say that any controversy arising out of or relating to the earlier policy is arbitrable. Thank you.
Well, let me just ask you, what's this now, former executive is the arbitrator?
Yes.
How did you get that inserted?
How did we get it inserted?
Yeah, that seems unusual. I mean, usually the arbitrator is neutral.
Well, Your Honor, this is a dispute between a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan and BCS, which insures the plans. So everyone is involved with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and it only made sense to have executives from Blue Cross Blue Shield do the arbitrations. I mean, it could be a former plan.
Well,
person.
These are two Blue Cross entities at each other's throats.
Well, you could. One is a licensee, one is an insurer of the licensees.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Mr. Hazeg.
May it please the Court, I am Fritz Hussack. I represent Wellmark. We had four policies in a row, each separate and independent claims-made policies.
Well, he says they're not separate. So.
Well, the policies are clearly separate. They each stand on their own. They don't relate to each other.
Well, he says they don't stand on their own because of the relation back provision.
The first three have no such provision
well,
whatsoever.
Well, so what?
The fourth one does, but it only speaks to the question of whether a particular claim based on the same act or related acts go back. But in all other regards, they have freestanding limits. They're independent of one another.
He doesn't think so. I don't understand. You're just asserting disagreement. You're not explaining what's wrong with his argument.
My point was simply going to be that you have four different policies, all claims made, all which are therefore triggered as to when the claim is made. That's the key point with respect to a claims made policy.
Well, what do you think the meaning of this relation back provision is?
I think what it is intended to do is to say that with respect to, actually, I truthfully think it's supposed to apply prospectively because it says on its face, it says the words of it are that all claims based upon arising out of the same wrongful act or related shall be treated as a single claim made at the time such claim is made. And if you stop and think about it, if a claim was made in a prior policy year and is related to another claim in this year, it would relate back to the prior policy. But if a claim is made in this policy year, a new and separate claim, which is what we're dealing with here, then future claims that would arise from it would relate back to this policy year. And one of the
that's your interpretation of the clause?
Yes, sir.
And are there any cases that interpret it?
Not this particular language and not in
well,
this
well, your opponent said this is a standard provision. Is that not true?
Well, I will tell you this, Judge, it's not this language in this form is not standard. Most claims made policies do contain provisions which state that if two or more claims somehow are related, then it goes back to the time when the first claim is made. When the first claim is made, and in this case, as I said a minute ago, really the language should be applied prospectively because the claim with respect to the 97 matter was made in 1997. There were lawsuits in 94, 95, 96. Each was treated
separately. Well, give me an example of when this clause would apply.
If a claim is made in 1997 and then subsequent amendations to that claim are made alleging new wrongful acts, that are somehow interrelated, and that term is very strictly defined in the policy, then, and those claims are made, those amendations occur after the policy, they would relate back and the claim would still be made, those claims would still fall back under the 97 policy. Now, the one point I want to make, or several points I want to make, is there are four separate actions.
But why isn't that what he's arguing? Now you lost me.
Because that language, he's arguing that it goes back to 94 and the 94 policy.
But you just gave an example where 99 goes back to 97. So what's the difference?
Because the 94 policy doesn't contain like language like this. The 94 policy contains no such language like this, nor does it.
Oh, I see. So you think this is just perspective.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's never been interpreted? You say this is a common provision.
In claims-made policies, the underwriter wants to try and have multiple claims that arise that are the same claim, for example, against a lawyer and then his law firm for vicarious liability, fall within the same policy year.
For purposes of the deductible or the limits?
For purposes of all applications of the policy.
Okay, so you say they want that. Well, why hasn't it ever been interpreted if this is a common provision?
It has been interpreted in some cases, but not this particular language, but in very different situations. For example, where a lawyer gets sued, and then later on, after the policy expires, he's sued, for example, by a fellow fraud feeser who was a co-defendant with him. And then he says, I'm entitled to a separate claim of coverage from the fraud feeser's claim against me. And the court says, that's the same claim. It goes back to the first policy. We have four separate policies, four separate claims, four separate class action lawsuits filed in each one seriatim. And each policy is a claim is made. And the touchstone is a claim is made policy is...
Why is it that you want to be in court? Because this Iowa court has said it's going to wait and see what the arbitrators do, and presumably will give preclusive force to the arbitration. So why don't you suggest, Your Honor, that
there's anything wrong with the arbitrators or the process? But Wellmark has decided that since it has the right to litigate this claim, this particular one, it wants to litigate
Especially if the Iowa court is just going to follow what the arbitrators do, you're not going to have any litigation.
Well, ultimately, because I think what it boils down to is, what it boils down to at the end of the day, is whether or not the 97 policy applies to the 97 claim. And if that's the case, there's going to be a separate limit of coverage available for that claim.
Well, yeah, that's the point. They want to wipe out, they want to put you back in 94, right?
They want to circumscribe us. It's an interesting question. They have three different policies before the 97, and two of those three, as Judge Gottschall pointed out, can't possibly relate back, but the 97 one gets to relate back to 94, and they want to squeeze a claim that's very substantial into a $5 million policy rather than into two $5 million policies. And for obvious reasons, my client would prefer the latter. I'd like to make one other quick observation for the panel, which is this. These are not interrelated claims, as that term is defined, because that term is defined by in the policy itself to only include matters involving professional services, which is what we're dealing with here, to more than one person shall not be considered interrelated wrongful acts. Well, certainly we're dealing with many more than one person as claimants. We're dealing with classes. My last point is this. You have an arbitration clause in 94, which is mandatory, and you have an arbitration clause in 97, which is optional. Now, why does one trump the other? Both of them say that if there's a dispute arising out of or related to the particular policy, it seems to me that this dispute is under the 97 policy. It relates to and arises under the 97 policy. It's consensual for us to arbitrate. We ought not to be squeezed back into 94 when we have to arbitrate. And it seems to me the insurance company could have put language in the policy which simply says that in 97, when they made these changes, that if an arbitration situation arises where it relates back to a prior policy, then your optional arbitration is gone. You have to go back to that policy and mandatorily arbitrate it. They didn't do that here. So for those reasons, I would ask the court to affirm Judge Gottschall.
Thanks, Jonathan. Mr. Wilson?
Thank you.
You had no time, Mr. Wilson, but you may have 1 minute for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. 2 points. First of all, the issue of how the clause, the relation back clause, should be interpreted is is an issue for the merits. The federal court in Iowa, if that is the tribunal that will hear this, or the arbitration panel should resolve that issue, not a federal court sitting on a motion to compel arbitration. So I think that those issues should not be resolved by the court.
And not necessarily. I mean, we could say that the relation back clause pertains to decisions on coverage and not, it doesn't have anything to do with the arbitrability question. And then it's not a decision on construing the relation back clause.
Well, my point also goes to the district court's order. The district court made a decision that reads like a decision on the merits, and now Wellmark is off to the races getting ready to argue collateral estoppel based on an order from the district court on a motion to compel.
We can parse the policy a little differently and get to the same result, right?
Well, I don't know.
Say that the arbitration clause, it means what it says, that it's optional at the option of the insured, and that the relation back clause has to do with coverage issues and not arbitrability. And then you're free to argue what you wish in Iowa. Wouldn't that be true?
I think you could,
that.
As long as there's no comment on the merits issue, I would agree. My last point is that that Wellmark's counsel has flipped the presumption of arbitration on its head by arguing that the policy language could have been written differently. The presumption is that if there is an arbitration clause between the parties, which there clearly is, then there is a presumption of arbitration unless there is an express exclusion of arbitration.
You mean in 94 there's an arbitration? Well, that's what you're relying on.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
You're relying on the 94 arbitration clause.
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks to all counsel. Case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess.